trying to get you guys prepared because we have an incredible guest that's going to be on our show today. And she's got products that are going to help you get away from the nasty chemicals that we've been warning you about from other products. But now we're going to get down to the nitty gritty here. We're going into some products that like touch the most delicate parts of our body, which means that they're the most absorptive of these chemicals. Okay. Not just that, but we're taking on products that are out there promoting antibiotic resistance. Besides, you know, exposing us to chemicals that we would probably go, well, let's see, could I have olive oil or this chemical that's like about 15 letters long and I can't pronounce? Which one would I rather be putting in my body and on my skin? These are the kind of alternatives that we're going to be offering you today, but not compromise the goal, which is no infection and to speed healing. As a matter of fact, probably be doing a lot better job in those areas. And this is going to be the kind of talk that everyone is going to want to tune in, because everyone will need these kind of products at some time or another. All of us are cutting ourselves, or maybe, you know, getting into a position where, you know, our body is maybe a little bit down, and then, you know, we get a yeast infection. So, you know, those of you out there that have suffered, you're definitely going to want to stay tuned. But also, you know, moms, you got to like deal with, you know, your child's, you know, skint knee, you know, those kind of things. You've got teething going on when you're raising babies, you know. Hey, I bet like one of those things is like happening to somebody out there, like even right now, okay? So, you know, everyone that's listening, at least one of those things that I listen to probably touches you, you know, like at least, you know, once a month, if not more. So we're going to be getting into alternatives that with Caroline Goodner, all right? And we'll see, you know, see if we can like work in, I'll work in a few of our other things going on in the news while we're talking to Caroline if we have time. But right now I just want to get to Caroline. She's on Skype. And those of you that have not listened to KCA or aren't aware, okay, we got kcaradio.com, which has her video. We got like Caroline right here on the screen. We got me right here in the studio. Woohoo! And we're having a good time here. Yeah, we're gonna be talking about a few serious issues. But we're going to be having fun doing it, so just tune in, and you can watch us right there on the internet from wherever you're at. So if you're listening on the radio, and then you got to go inside, just go to your computer, or, you know, if you miss this show, iHeartRadio, you know, you probably heard of that. Well, our podcasts go up after the show on iHeartRadio or the KCA Radio website. They're all on there, and also YouTube. And please subscribe. Type in Smart Health Talk YouTube, find our YouTube channel and subscribe, okay? Because we've been putting up a lot of videos. We've got a lot more going up. We've been like doing some shorts to find like the best parts of some of our interviews that you guys really want, might be interested in. If you want to listen to the rest, you can. But go, please go check all that out. And also our website, where I told you we got all kinds of great stuff for the holidays. Like, start clicking through there. You'll find it. And look on the front page for our 10 Smart Health Talk resolutions, because I know you're starting to think about that because the new year's coming up. And we got some great stuff for you in how to get started, all right? And Caroline, why don't you go ahead and, like, introduce yourself, tell us your position at the company, the name of your company, and what you guys do over there. And welcome. Right. And besides, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And I appreciate being on the show. And my name is Caroline Goodner, and I'm founder and CEO of Organicare. And we make all natural, organic, over-the-counter healthcare products for sort of your everyday conditions that can be treated at home. So you mentioned a few of them in the lead up. And so, you know, your average cuts, scrapes, burns, blisters that you might get in the kitchen, cooking holiday dinner, you might burn yourself. What do you do in those cases? And we have a perfect product that works better than the one that everybody knows about that's called Neosporin. But Curoxin, which is the name of our product, does not have the antibiotics, does not have the petroleum ingredients, no chemicals. It's all natural, organic, and it is proven by an independent scientific study to kill over 5 times the bacteria that Neosporin or any of the other products on the shelf do. So, it's a much more effective product at fighting infection, killing bacteria, and healing wounds faster, but without all the nasty ingredients that you really don't want coming in contact with your skin or your child's skin.
So what do they put in Neosporin to make it kill bacteria? Because I was reading off that triclosan, which we found was actually triggering antibiotic resistance, everywhere, everywhere. I know that they've been slowly like phasing that out secretly. But the two chemicals that they were replacing it with were, they said that they have not been tested. They don't even know if it works or not. They don't even know if it's really safe, but they had nothing else for them to use. So they said, okay, you can use that. Come back to us in like 6 months and tell us if you figured out if it's safe or not.
I know. And I don't know about hand sanitizer. I know the triclosan is the ingredient.
Well, it's an antibacterial. These are antibacterial. So triclosan is antibacterial. It's in mouthwash, but it's in toothpaste. It's in like anything that says like antibacterial on it. They were like using that chemical in there. But you guys have taken a whole different approach. So why don't you like kind of walk us through, because I want to understand what the differences are. And like, why don't you just first walk us through, like, this product is something that, you know, everyone would have on their shelf all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I ask people who are even pretty diehard natural organic shoppers if they've got Neosporin or something like it in their medicine cabinet. And 95% of people say, yes, they do. And it's because it's just been this, you know, very well-known, trusted brand for decades. But really, you know, its time has come and gone because, you know, Neosporin contains 3 different antibiotics. And I think everybody knows at some level that you're not supposed to use antibiotics unless you absolutely have to because you've got some really serious illness and you need to use antibiotics. But you certainly don't need to use antibiotics on a cut or a scrape or a burn or a blister. That's not necessary and will contribute to antibiotic resistance. So that's what Neosporin and other antibiotic ointments use in their formula to fight infection and kill bacteria. But what's interesting and what our study shows is that they don't do it very effectively. So they kill a little bit of bacteria, but nothing like what Curoxin, our product, does with a natural, simple set of 3 ingredients. We have oxygenated olive oil, calendula, and lavender essential oil. And that's it. That's all that is in our product. But it's the oxygenated olive oil that really is the most active part of doing, killing the bacteria that might be in a cut or a wound. And so what's nice is that, you know, you can get this much more powerful germ kill effect, but without any of the antibiotic exposure that you know you don't want to have. So, it kind of accomplishes both things. For the people who like natural and organic and want clean ingredient profiles, that's what Curoxin is. And for people who really want the most effective germ killer, infection fighter, that's what Curoxin is. So we're kind of in a very fortunate position to be one of those homeopathic products that is proven to be really, really effective at what it's supposed to do.
And I have 2 questions. First of all, Bactine, they sold their product all based on it took the sting out. You know, like so many of the products, they do sting. When you have a cut, you know, it's kind of hard to get completely past no sting, you know, like not even get any sting at all when you're putting some sort of ointment on. Like like this one. So what have you guys tested your sting strength, the stinger, yeah, so the string level that you guys get?
Not necessarily a comparative test, but we've heard no feedback really from anybody that it stings or that it's painful. I mean, I think if you've got a really severe wound, any sort of, even if you put water on it, it'll.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Thank you, Caroline, for saying it better than I did.
We're not going to claim it never will sting. I think if you touch any certain type of wound, it's going to hurt. But it really, I think it's short-lived. And we do have a version of Curoxin that has added arnica for additional pain relief. So, you know, if you've got something that's pretty bad, you probably want the version that's got added pain relief.
Oh, yeah, I see that one. Yeah, pain relief. And this one, you know, this is gentle if you can use it inside your mouth as well.
Yes. Well, Curoxin Oral is a different formula.
Oh, okay.
Than first aid ointment. It is for all mouth sores. So, you know, you get those canker sores, those mouth ulcers that really can hurt. Or you bite your cheek, or you have braces or dentures, any of these things can create sores in the mouth, and you want them to heal as quickly as possible, but you also want instant pain relief. So what we've done, Curoxin Oral version has clove essential oil in it, which has been proven, again by a scientific study, to work as well as benzocaine at numbing pain in the mouth. And so that's really important because benzocaine is not a good ingredient. The FDA has issued 3 different warnings on it because it is unsafe, and though rare, it can lead to a fatal disorder, usually in young kids, but it's a pretty dangerous drug. And so if you, and one of the limitations of an Orajel or an Anbisol that contain benzocaine is that you can only use it 4 times a day because it is dangerous. And so if you've got mouth sore issues, or if you're one of those unfortunate people who gets canker sores a lot, you probably have experience with this. But, you know, if you're only using an Orajel or something 4 times a day, that's probably at best an hour of relief a day. And so most people who have that kind of pain would like to be able to use it more often. And with Curoxin Oral that has the clove oil, you can use it as often as you want.
And I've tried clove oil before. Do you guys make it so it's like kind of less intense? Because it does have a very strong taste.
It is a pretty intense cinnamon, and we've added cinnamon essential oil for flavor. But most of the people who've tried both Orajel and Curoxin Oral say that they like the Curoxin Oral flavor better. It's cinnamon as opposed to that kind of dentist, medicine flavor of Orajel. But it is intense. I think that's what is going to create the numbing effect. And so, you know, once it's in there, it numbs right away, instant pain relief. But the other thing that Curoxin Oral does that these other benzocaine-containing products don't is it actually delivers oxygen, which is in that substrate of our product. It delivers oxygen into the wound. And, of course, you know, you need oxygen to make cells replicate and repair. And so it actually is helping speed the healing of your wound, which is something that these other ones that only provide pain relief don't do.
That's just what I was going to ask you. Does it speed healing? As you were saying, speed healing, because I was thinking, you know, that's why they put people in the oxygen.
Exactly.
Those hyperbaric chambers and all that. It's all about like oxygen and healing your skin, you know, if you have a burn.
Absolutely. And the same thing is happening with our Curoxin first aid ointment. You know, it's got oxygen in the olive oil bound in there. And so the oxygen gets delivered into the wound, kind of sparking your cells to replicate and repair faster than they would otherwise. And it's not, those other ointments don't have that. They have the germ-fighting antibiotics in them, which again, you shouldn't be using, but they don't have anything that actually is helping cells repair and divide and helping the healing process go faster.
Well, back on the taste issue, you know what I think the reason is that your customers are telling you that they like your product better than the Orajel type product? And that's because what I've noticed when you have, even if it's a strong flavor when it's a when it's the real thing, it doesn't leave a weird aftertaste in your mouth. It doesn't like kind of make you cringe, and it doesn't like linger with that weird aftertaste. When you have something that's real, it's like you taste it. Okay, it's strong, but it's not bad, and it doesn't like linger in your mouth like some of these chemicals do. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why they say that.
I think that's true. And I just think cinnamon is a more appealing flavor.
People love cinnamon. Yes, they love. That's one of the most loved flavors of all.
It's a great time of year to be enjoying cinnamon. It smells like Christmas.
Yeah, it does. As a matter of fact, I've got some old cinnamon sticks that I found in my cabinet that I wanted to get rid of. And I found a potpourri at the American Cancer Society that I got for $4. One of those little containers, you know, those things that heat up.
That you
put like the herbs and the spices and stuff in there with some water, and it kind of heats up and like fills your room with like that smell.
So
for $4, I got a little potpourri thing, you know, used at the American Cancer Society. And I'm going to use some of my old spices that I wanted to get rid of to like make my house smell good for Christmas instead of just like throwing them away. So I'm recycling.
And a good aroma. Very nice.
So do parents use your oral pain relief for babies teething too?
Yeah, they can. Yes. I mean, we're a little bit cautious about labeling anything specifically for babies, just because there's been a lot of there have been a lot of issues with the FDA and baby teething products, both on the drug side. Like there was an Orajel baby teething product that has been pulled off the market because of benzocaine and this connection to this rare but lethal disease that's triggered by benzocaine.
Yeah, I've heard about that, Caroline. I don't mean to interrupt you, but isn't that in other products too, like cough syrup?
There have been. I don't know as much about. I remember the cough syrup recall, and they basically said no cough syrup for children. So labeling things for specifically for kids or babies in particular is a little risky. There were even some homeopathic products labeled for baby teething. I think it was a Highlands product, and it contained belladonna, which I guess is considered a poisonous herb. And so those were pulled off the market as well.
And Highland is like a homeopathic type product company.
Right.
Okay. In case people didn't know who they were.
Yes, that's correct. And so it can be used for kids. I would always advise, consult the pediatrician, make sure they feel it's okay. But they can look at our simple ingredient list. There's only four things in it. Oxygenated olive oil, clove oil, cinnamon essential oil, and calendula. So
they can test it like on just a small area inside the baby's mouth and just see what kind of reaction. That would be my recommendation as a dietitian. I would say, test it on a small area. And as long as you see no reaction and the baby's okay with it. Of course, they'll probably make a little face, when you put it in there, just because it's like
a strong flavor for a kid,
because their mouth isn't like had all kinds of like alcohol and cigarettes. No. All right, they're all fresh and new. They taste everything, right? And they're so funny when they get that. What was that?
Kind of. Food or milk or yes.
Yeah, they kind of get that jolt, that ugh kind of a thing. It's so funny. So you might get a little bit of that, but gosh, when you're a desperate parent, because I've been there. Okay. And you're just like, there's got to be something.
We're actually looking into that so that we might be able to label it for babies. But as of now, we don't label it that way. But,
yeah.
Consult your pediatrician. We think it's fine for any age.
Okay, and then so those are those categories that you have more for the inside of your mouth, and then for the outside of your skin, and then we get to the other inside part.
Oh yeah.
And I, you know, explain this one to me, Caroline, because I think I'm behind on the etiquette for talking about women or something. and like, because I'm not like too into it, but I know someone else that like is kind of in tune with the feminist movement as well, and like how they want to be referred to and that. So when they came out with the recall on the tampons that I mentioned earlier in the show, that they fall apart inside you, they said they fall apart inside people's bodies. Okay.
<They're> non-specific.
And I was kind of like, is there other people besides women that are using tampons that I'm not aware of? I know there's some sort of weird thing going on out there with tampons, maybe. Or did they choose people's bodies because we have to satisfy the feminist movement as well? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're in the business. I thought maybe, you know, you have to be like careful about how you word things, and maybe you might.
Well, we certainly do want to, explain things in a way that everybody can understand. And at the same time, you know, I think there is a movement more to just be more direct about things that we were less direct about in the past.
Well, as a public health expert, I am loving it. Because we need to be talking about these things. There are so many things that we are afraid to talk about, and then it leaves people suffering or undiagnosed and all kinds of problems. It leads to worse and worse things, which can happen with feminine hygiene, you know, if you don't.
Yeah. And there's a few, for yeast infection, which is, you know, what our product FemiClear treats. There's a number of reasons why, you know, a woman might get a yeast infection. And by the way, men can get them too. So it is not exclusively a female, condition. But cause yeast can grow anywhere. I mean, there are other conditions that are a fungus on the skin.
Yeah, in folds of skin.
Exactly. But for feminine yeast infections, which is what FemiClear is designed for, they can happen because of hormone imbalances. They can happen because of you've been taking a course of antibiotics for another illness, and you know antibiotics and bacteria and yeast can coexist healthily in a woman's body. And so when you take antibiotics and it kills off some of the bacteria, the yeast may overgrow. And so that can cause a yeast infection. So if you're diabetic and a woman, you may be more likely to get a yeast infection. So there are a number of different causes for, yeast infection. And sometimes they just happen, for no real reason you can identify. But when it does happen, when it happens, if you've had one before.
You know.
Yes. And now if you've never had one before, you should go see your doctor because there's a number of different conditions. There are three that kind of could be confused one with another. But if you've had a yeast infection before, you can self-treat. That's why the FDA has allowed yeast infection treatments to become over-the-counter medicines. And the one that everybody knows, and really the only product brand that's on the market, is Monistat, that really has any, you know, kind of big, well-known brand name. Most of the retailers also offer a private label version of Monistat, but FemiClear, which is our product, we did some more third-party independent scientific testing, and FemiClear kills more yeast than Monistat, any of the Monistats. Certainly, and most of the way that women think about these and the products were labeled is there's a Monistat 1, there's a Monistat 3, and a Monistat 7. And those numbers indicate the number of days you have to use the product in order for the treatment to be complete. So most women, of course, like using Monistat 1 because it's only one day. But Our testing demonstrated that Monistat 1, for whatever reason, simply does not kill yeast effectively at all. And you can go to our website, or you can even look on our package, and you'll see the graph that shows the data.
And that's organiccare.com.
Organiccare.com, you can get to FemmaClear.com. So FemmaClear.com is where you can also find that. Monistat 3 and Monistat 7 do kill yeast, but they don't do it as well as FemmaClear does. And so what that means is FemmaClear is more effective than any of the Monistat products, and it does it without antifungal drugs. It does it without petroleum products in the formula or any chemicals. And because FemmaClear is only a two-day treatment, it makes it the shortest effective yeast infection treatment that you can buy. And so, you know, we're really excited about it. It's a fairly new product.
That is fantastic, Caroline. I am so impressed with all of those things that you said, because I am very concerned about women putting these chemicals inside them. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, the vagina is like very absorptive.
It
will suck up those chemicals very easily. And I know that because I interviewed another woman in the same position as you that started a Good Clean Love.
Okay.
You know, have you heard of them before?
I've heard of them. I don't.
Yeah, I'll have to send you a link. But they are they have like the sexual lubricants, you know, and those kind of things that have none of the chemicals in them as well.
Yes.
But she really gave me a good lesson on you know, what those other chemicals and how absorptive they are inside of our bodies and how harmful.
And no, it's really true. And something that actually only came out in Science magazine, which is a really serious scientific publication a few months ago, is that antifungal drugs, which is what miconazole, the active ingredient in Monistat, what miconazole is, those antifungal drugs are creating are creating a yeast resistance. So just
wow,
like
I was going to ask you if there were side effects from these drugs.
That's right. So everyone knows, I think, now that if you take antibiotics too much, it could lead to antibiotic resistant superbugs. Well, similarly, using these antifungal drugs now has been proven to lead to kind of yeast or fungal resistance. So, you know, what will happen is these synthetic drugs like miconazole and Monistat are going to become less and less effective over time, because the yeast, the candida, is going to mutate and figure out how to be resistant to that drug effect that has worked for a while. So natural or alternative solutions are going to, you know, need to happen in order for, you know, women not to just have ongoing yeast infections that they can't treat.
That is scary. That is like so scary. It really is. And aren't fungal drugs some of the most heavy duty drugs out there?
I think they're pretty serious. And
I know that some medications that you take for fungus that they can destroy your liver. That's how heavy duty that they are. But, you know, I wanted to interject something that I had learned from the BioK people, which is a probiotic made out of Canada. I recommend them because they actually, that's their business. You know, these other people are trying to cash in on the probiotic interest.
Yeah.
And they're, we have our probiotic, when they just like started making it like they're some sort of expert or something.
Yeah.
But they told me something that like blew my mind, because I had not understood this at all. And I think it applies to your product in a really positive way. And what they told me was that, you know, I told her, I said, well, what do you think about this study that came out that they're trying to say that people are getting an overgrowth of probiotics in their system? And she started laughing. And she said, that's impossible, because probiotics only stay in your body for 4 days. And I'm like, what? She goes, no, these are not replacing your own bacteria. What they actually do is they create a perfect environment for your own bacteria to thrive. And the negative bacteria that are like taking over are the bad guys, which I hate kind of like saying those kind of things, that describing it that way, but it's easier to, for people to understand. Because you want a balance. You're striving for a balance in your system. Right. And when it gets unbalanced, you get a yeast infection like Caroline was just describing with candida bacteria. And the same thing can happen inside your gut. And so what she said that all probiotics really do is just to create this environment for your own bacteria to come back and start thriving and like, you know, creating the perfect pH, you know, environment within your gut. And so what I am thinking about your product versus a Monistat product in my mind as someone, you know, because as a public health person, I am very concerned about, you know, reproductive health. And what I'm thinking, your the Monistat product, not only is it creating this resistance, but I would question about what, you know, good organisms inside the vagina that are also compromised and killed as a result of that product that participate in that balance that and protection of that tissue. And so, but another, a study that just came out that I want to mention is that Roundup, this number one most used pesticide, we have a new study that shows it is attacking the ovaries. Oh, God. And we have mass infertility going on right now. This to new, I don't know, maybe it was happening and we just didn't have the infertility clinics and for people to go to, but I really think infertility is at an all-time high, and we can start to link it back to Roundup, everybody. That's why for 10 years we have been recommending you to choose organic foods, organic products in your life, in your environment. And these products that Caroline has at Organic Care, these enable you to reduce the amount of exposure to these chemicals that you have in your life. And I like to look at the total, you know, pesticide or chemical load that people are going through. I mean, you probably heard about it, Caroline, that like how many chemicals are women exposed to in one day between all the shampoos and the lotions and the makeup and the mouthwash and toothpaste and all these different things, you know, and the feminine care products and the tampons and perfume.
And rightly so, you know, people, I think, you know, people who listen to your show and people who, you know, are kind of tuned in are understanding that, you know, chemical exposure, petrochemical exposure, which is the base, you know, Vaseline, petroleum jelly is made from petrochemicals. It's gasoline. And so, you know, people are getting, you know, wise to the fact that this is just nasty, if not quite dangerous.
Or it's synthetic. It was a man-made chemical that you're putting your health of your body in the trust of.
Yes. And to get on the soapbox just for a second about antibiotic resistance, these superbugs, it's not just the people who are, you know, crazy about natural and organic. The FDA, the CDC, the World Health Organization, and even the UN have all declared antibiotic resistance the number one healthcare crisis facing our whole world. And that if we do not figure out how to solve this by reducing unnecessary exposure to antibiotics, then we're going to have a major healthcare crisis by 2050. And so people need to start understanding, they've got to be aware of what they're putting in and on their bodies. Because a lot of people don't even somehow make the connection that a Neosporin, for example, has antibiotics in it, much less three different antibiotics in it. And so it's really important that people read labels and make that connection that any exposure is an exposure. Just because you're rubbing it on your skin doesn't make it any less of an exposure than if you were to take a pill. I think most people understand taking a course of antibiotics for a cold is a terrible idea. because it's not going to solve it, and you're exposing yourself unnecessarily. You need to save, you know, your exposure to only those times when your doctor even believes you need antibiotics, and you should probably be the bigger gatekeeper even than your doctor, because we know a lot of doctors prescribe unnecessarily. So,
I have an experience that I can validate what you just said, Caroline, and it ties in with the probiotic and the antibiotic resistance too. And that was, I had dental implants, and I had to take an antibiotic because it cost $30,000, and I couldn't risk messing it up. So even though I like, no, I'm not taking any antibiotics. I'm very stubborn. but it's like, okay, I guess I got to this time. And so I got a bladder infection, like practically like one day after I started taking them. And never, ever, ever do I get a bladder infection. I knew it had to be related to the antibiotics because I never get them, and I had just taken the antibiotics, okay? So, you know, other people think that they know, right? And they're like, okay, you need to take Cipro, which is an antibiotic. I'm like, the antibiotic gave me the bladder infection. I'm not going to take another antibiotic. I'm going to take a probiotic. So I started taking probiotics every 4 hours, and within not even a day and a half, bladder infection gone, never came back.
Yeah.
Because you create the environment, like my body was strong. My immune system was strong because I didn't go around having bladder infections, but it just got a little bit weak because of the antibiotics. And so I just had to create a good environment for my own bacteria to make a comeback and be able to take care of what it would normally take care of, you know, all the time, and I wouldn't even know it was going on. You know what I mean? And I love that. You know, I tell people in my yard, I had aphids on practically every single leaf, like thousands of them, and I just waited, and the lacewings and the ladybugs started showing up, and it took 6 weeks. And I went out in my yard, and when you couldn't even see the leaf. There was so many aphids on every leaf. Within 6 weeks, there was not one aphid left in my entire yard. Because those ladybugs were laying eggs like crazy, man. They were going at it all over the place. And they were multiplying, and I did not mess with those ladybug eggs. I protected those, and sure enough, they came and took care of it. So this is what we're talking about. I hope that made sense to some people, but it's basically what Caroline is talking about, that these are not evasive, antibiotic resistant causing products like the ones that you were already using. Do you know, Caroline, what stopped the triclosan from being used was the whole state of Minnesota voted that it could not be sold in the state of Minnesota. No triclosan in the whole state. So that screwed up everything, because that they cannot make a special product just for the state of Minnesota. And plus, it got the attention of the FDA. So that's how powerful our states can be. When our states take a stand, and like Minnesota did, I tell you, they became my hero that day when I found out that they did that. And then the fact that we're secretly replacing triclosan with these other chemicals that aren't even proven. And I couldn't find anything to say that they ever submitted anything that showed that they were safe or worked. These chemicals.
I knew that there was a recall.
I'll send you.
Have to phase those products out. I didn't know that the companies were you know, substituting it for something else.
Oh yeah, and the thing is, they're desperate. It's kind of like methyl bromide on strawberries. They had nothing to replace it with, so they allowed them to use it for 10 years, knowing it caused cancer. There was no doubt. But they had nothing to replace it with, so they allow them to keep using these chemicals because there's nothing to replace it with. And that's just like not right. Not right, especially when we know that this is harmful. And I just have to tell you, Caroline, when you gave that last statement about antibiotic resistance, you gave me goosebumps. You said it so powerfully, and I hope that people understand just how important this. You can't have surgery without antibiotics, people.
No, you can't.
Okay.
So we need them desperately, but we need them for the right purposes. And I mean, what's interesting is you know, the rest of the world is much more clued into this than the United States is for some reason. So in Canada, in Europe, in Australia, you cannot buy over-the-counter antibiotics. You can't buy Neosporin or anything like it in any of those places.
But you can buy these products on organiccare.com, everybody. And thank you so much for joining us today, Carolyn Goodner.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening, and find us on iHeartRadio. Remember, our podcasts go up there on YouTube, and I'm Elaine McFadden, and I want to thank you so much for joining us right here on Smart Health Talk. Have a great day and happy holidays.
Take a walk on the wild side.
KCAA Loma Linda, 1050 AM, 106.5 FM, and now 102.3 FM.